Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Bob Leith. And Bob, you're describing the successful venture in terms of persuading General Electric on the roll-on, roll-off. When you think back of just the opposite of where you really came to grips with a credible impediment and almost failed and you could have gotten bankrupt, or what would be that big moment of where you lost sleep and you had some real serious problems?
Jorge, when I was on that radio program that we talked about, Corona made their beer here in Santurce. They asked me that why didn't I go in the trucking company, and they would give me a contract to move their beer from Stop 20 around the island, which I did. So I formed the Bob Leith Trucking Company, and then these people came down and the TMT, and we put our heads together, and I ended up as vice president and general manager and minority stockholder of the company because we put the whole thing together. And we started Tugs and Barges operating, and we did that from 1954, 55, 56. Then in 57, we came up with a ship that was in Jacksonville, and we converted that to a ship, but it was a self-propelled. And we had that, fixed that up, and we were going to have then the first self-propelled trailer ship, of course, which was same as Tug and Barge, but quicker. And it would move to Puerto Rico in 4 days. And I was happy.
It used to take how long, 8 days?
The other one was rather 7 days.
Okay.
So then we brought the ship down. I named it the Carib Queen. They went along and they came down. And we had a big celebration. We invited all our guests in Puerto Rico. In fact, I went back on the ship to Jacksonville, Florida. And then I put my car on board. And then with my family, we drove all the way from there to New York. And I was great. And then I had a board meeting in New York. And then I was told that the ship was going to be leased to the United States Army because the Army had seen our ship and they thought it'd be the great, great ship for moving military equipment from the United States to Europe. And they wanted to charter the ship and take the 1st Army from St. Louis, Missouri to Bremerhaven. And they were offering a considerable sum of money. And I was a minority. I fought for it. And they overruled me, and they leased that ship to the United States Army. And remember now, I had been working almost three and a half years with the trade in Puerto Rico. They backed me up considerably with bringing in a tug and barge service to compete with the 4 major companies serving. And we were doing well. And now we had this self-propelled trailer ship coming. We were going to really take off. And they took it right out from the Puerto Rican trade to give it to the Army on an experiment. Well, the experiment turned out to be, I sold all my stock, I resigned, and I came back and I was really brokenhearted. But as luck would have it, it says 6 to 8 months later, just as I had predicted, the company went to bankruptcy. The ship was not built for North Atlantic waters. The ship had a big superstructure. And when you have that out to sea, you have to have the power down on the engine room to move against that wind. That ship did not have it. That ship or landing ship dry docks, they were built to be moved to the Pacific and be used as dry docks, stationary dry docks, where they could take all those Navy ships that were damaged in the Pacific. They could be repaired and sent back into service without bringing them back to Hawaii, stuff like that. But that ship was built for that. The engines down below didn't have that horsepower to be on the North Atlantic. And sure enough, once they left Dover, Delaware, as soon as they hit the North Atlantic and going forward, they were losing that 9 knots an hour.
So you were very, very depressed.
Yeah.
You were felt really let down. Right. Yet on the other hand, you saw that at the end, right. It ended up that you foresaw that it was not going to work. The changes that the majority stockholders had, it was not going to work.
Yeah, and they had. I had cashed in my chips. I had got my stock when it was at the highest. Everybody thought I was out of my mind, but I was so disappointed because I've been in Puerto Rico as a kid. I'm starting out in business now. the Puerto Rican merchants backed me up. And when I backed them up, I couldn't convince them that it was the Americanos up in New York making that decision against me, you know, because they thought I was a chief and cook and bottle washer, that I could do whatever I wanted. Well, when you get down to the boys on Wall Street and you start talking, money talks. And I didn't have the majority to go against them. And when you have a big army general in charge of transportation, you know, and he says, I want to do this, everybody thought of it. Nobody in the army had all this smartness. Never everybody ever thought to think about what was the horsepower that ship had. And sure, from Jacksonville to San Juan, it'd have been no problem. You don't get those high seas. But out in the North Atlantic, man, when you hit that Cape Hatteras, and when you hit that, and when you get over there, man, some of those winds and some of those waves, you know, there. And then you got to have the power. And that's proven now with all those car carriers of all those ships, those automobiles being made in Korea, in Japan, they bring 5-10,000 cars to the United States, but they have 15-20,000 horsepower engine down there, and they move. They have no problem moving. You have to have the horsepower. If you don't have the horsepower in an engine room, you're not going to go anywhere.
Okay, so that, and in terms of then you getting involved with a roll-on, roll-off, that is successful. How did that take place? How, you know, who convinced who? Where did the money come from?
Well,
what was the critical moment? In
well,
terms
then
of
I,
that?
I formed my own agency, and in 1970, one of the major companies at that time was like, they pulled out of Puerto Rico. And I picked up the phone and called Tom Crowley in San Francisco, California. I'd never met him, he had never met me, but we knew of each other being in the business. And I projected, he said, let's meet halfway. And we met in New Orleans, and I laid out a work plan of what they said, what would you do in Puerto Rico if you had what your experience and my money? And I laid out, and in 3 days, laid it out in there. All of his people were flabbergasted. They had never done any business east of the Mississippi River. They had been formed in 1900 in San Francisco, and they had the tugboat business in San Francisco. They had the ferry business in San Francisco going to Atlanta to Alcatraz, and then they had tugs in Long Beach, and they had a service from Seattle, Washington to Alaska, because what they were doing then is the Alaska Railroad would put their railroad cars on the barge, and take it from so that you took a rail and went to Seattle, and those barges had the rails, and that railroad car went right onto the barge and went to Alaska, Fairbanks.
So they had a roll-on, roll-off kind of thing,
so
but rail-related.
So when I was talking to them, I didn't know that much about them, but when I was talking to them, they knew their background, that they what could do in Puerto Rico.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you gave them this 3 day, you know what they were convinced right away.
They said they're going to challenge me. They said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, we're going to come down to Puerto Rico. We want to have breakfast with the governor. We want to have a lunch with the mayor. We want to meet the Chamber of Commerce, the Manufacturers Association, do this and that. And so I said, well, do you know baseball? He said, yeah. He says, you've been here picking my brains for 3 days. And this is the pop fly. So they came down.
This is an easy task that you're asking of me.
Yeah, well, they had breakfast in Luis A. Ferre. They had lunch with Carlos Romero Barceló, and I'd been one of his campaign managers. So actually, he had to go to the lunch, and he showed up. And he was there. Manuel Morales Dávila was president of the Chamber of Commerce. And Manufacturers Association showed up. And anybody.
And by then you had been with the Chamber of Commerce, what, 40 years?
Oh, yeah. they showed up.
You joined the Chamber in 49, was it?
Yeah, in 49.
And this was what, 90?
Well, it was 49, 50. This was
with the Crowley, was in the 70s?
It was the 71.
71, right. Yeah. So you had paid your dues with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, they all showed up.
Had you been president by then?
No, I was president in 83.
You're 83 later.
Ran in 63 and lost. And I said, well, I don't care. I keep on going.
Yeah.
And then when I ran again in 83, I ran alone because by then they knew my love for the chamber and my, and they said, no, Bob's got to run alone because nobody's going to run against him. And today, of course, we're heading for the 100th anniversary of the Chamber of Commerce, Horry. I'm very pleased to be the president of the Centennial Committee, and we have an excellent year ahead of us, and we're going to finish it up in the with the convention, June 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. And let me tell you, on June 27th, it's going to be a big day for me because
let's take a break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm with Bob Lee.